We also have some other guests here we wanted to talk to. We've got Gendo Taiko playing at Waterfire, but here in the studio we have the artistic director and the public relations director for Festival Ballet Providence. And we've worked with Festival Ballet Providence on several times on doing interesting, interactive ways with the arts, and we're delighted to have them here. So tell me a little bit about the summer program you've been doing and where we're going to go from that for this Saturday.
Well, thank you for having us, Barnaby. You know, this is a very exciting time for the company. The professional company is off in the summer, but we always are very, very busy with our summer dance intensive, which is made up of about 59, 60 students who have come
from all over the U.S.
All over the U.S., many of them from the region, but a handful of them have come from around the country to train for a four-week program. And this is really culminating. This event at Waterfire is going to be culminating a lot of their hard work over the past 4 weeks. All of the four pieces, with the exception of the one classical piece, there's five pieces total, and four of the pieces that we're going to see at Waterfire this weekend were created in this four-week span, expressly for this purpose and to raise awareness for hepatitis C. So it's really, like you said, artists working with artists to advance an agenda that's far bigger than just ourselves.
Right. And more knowledge. And much of the music you chose is baby boomer sort of music. It's music from that period.
Yeah, it's music that is going to be recognizable. And the premise where this really started from, where this project started from, was that if you recognize the music from your time period, of course, these are tunes that we're all going to recognize. But if this was if this music was something that you were kind of coming of age when it was popular, this is an indication for you that you might have been at risk and that you might get tested. The music that we've chosen, that the choreographers have themselves chosen, ranges from the Beatles to Etta James to Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So we're really running the gamut from from soul to of course the Beatles, who were, you know, the most pervasive band of that generation and probably to date. So this is very recognizable music, but it's advancing something, like we said earlier in the show, that is the silent epidemic, and it's really important for us to raise awareness the way that we can as artists. This is something that Waterfire has been doing for many, many years, with first and foremost with the Gloria Gemma Waterfire. But this is such a different avenue to go down, and a much different epidemic.
Sure.
Of course, equally worthy, but this is such a interesting venture for us, I think.
And I
artists.
Think your choreographers were looking at the ratio of 1 in 30 and this idea that people may have it, may not be aware that they have it, and also questions of that there is a cure, that it is possible, that there's a bright future for this now.
The choreographers were looking at a lot of different aspects of this, from the literal infection with the disease and the pain that that causes, and the emotional pain that that causes, to the loss of a loved one or estrangement from society. So these are very deep concepts, and not necessarily depressing, but the works are deeply emotional. And I think there is one of the choreographers, I think Louisa Chapman, said it very nicely, and she said, when researching hepatitis C for this project, what most struck me were the testimonials of those affected by the disease. There was a pervading sense of loneliness and fear, as ignorant friends turned against them, not knowing how the disease was spread. Parents feared that their children's schools would find out and in many cases expel the child. And this is just heartbreaking.
And it's also not medically valid.
Of course.
It's one of the things we'd like to counter. That is not how hepatitis C is spread.
Of course.
And that we actually have very good treatments in place now.
And, you know, we went through, as a society, you know, we went from such a deep low during the AIDS epidemic, with this concept that a disease that we know, that science knows to be completely not transmittable from person-to-person contact, could cause so much, hate and vitriol in the society. Yeah. There was a choreographer by the name of Bill T. Jones, who was one of the most, daring and controversial choreographers of his generation, who was tackling, through dance, who was tackling the AIDS epidemic. His partner, Arnie Zane, together they founded the Bill T. Jones Arnie Zane Dance Company. And Arne Dessain died in 1988 of AIDS. Bill T. Jones pretty much spent the rest of his career choreographing and tackling these really this really completely mischaracterized disease.
And he tackled it by creating inspired pieces. What intrigued us about the collaboration with Festival Ballet, mm-hmm. where Festival Ballet Providence has been, I think, one of the Rowan is blessed with many great members of the arts community, but I'm always intrigued with the way you can get a message across in a new way to a new audience. And that's often what's happening with public health, is the people who need to hear the message may not be getting it through the normal channels. So we welcome these sort of opportunities.
Yeah, and we of course embrace them, because this is, you know, the arts, as you know, need to advance beyond, you know, I think ballet is quite often seen as kind of a stuffy art form, like many of the traditional.
Not at Festival Ballet Providence.
But yes, of course, not at Festival Ballet, and in indeed many ballet companies across the country. We are looking forward to new avenues, new content that we can address and we can tackle. It's not unique to Festival. This is, but we're very proud to advance that agenda that is becoming. It's going to move the art form forward. It's going to keep us relevant. It's going to allow us to reach a new audience. And of course, these are very young dancers who are addressing a disease that they will probably never have to encounter in their lives.
Their parents and their grandparents
of
could
course.
Well, we want to get the message to them as well. And just for some technical information for the listeners, this will be held on the stage in Water Place Basin. People should probably try to get there around 8 o'clock. There are five dances you're doing, mm-hmm. and they start around 8:15 or something like that, but I'd like people to get in place. And it is integrated into the entire lighting ceremony we're doing with Dr. Taylor and Rhode Island Defeats Hep C. We've got about 100 torchbearers who are sort of the front line of what people have been doing in revolutionizing this approach to hepatitis C. Dr. Holmberg from the CDC will be leading the first torch up, but it's integrated into your performance. The Gendo Taiko drummers will also be performing, and I think it's going to be quite a fascinating evening to witness and be a part of. And we're so delighted to have, you know, Festival Ballet right at the heart of that.
A Waterfire never ceases to make an entrance, and we're very proud to be a part of that. Like you said, it's going to be part of the program, and we're going to have I believe the lighting is going to be in the middle of our program, following the Beatles piece.
The Eleanor Rigby piece,
which is that is actually the only piece in the program that represents that has some of our professional company dancing, and that would be Alex Lance and Elizabeth Mochizuki, who are two of our fantastic dancers who will be partnering in a piece. You heard a quote from Louisa Chapman. She is the woman that choreographed the piece for this purpose, and we're very excited to see what happens. It's going to be a really beautiful evening.
Now, we'll have links for that on the radio station, and we'll also have links on that on waterfire.org/radio.
We're very much looking forward to it. Thank you.
And we'll be right back with you in a few minutes. Hello, and we are back, and you are listening to Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And we've been talking to Dylan Giles, the marketing director from Festival Ballet, who's just been telling us about some of the great performances that we're going to see on Saturday. And we spent a lot of time. It's called the C Project, is what you've named these five performances, right, Dylan?
That's right. Of course, we're talking about hepatitis C. And we're using dance, as it has been used for many, many years in the past, to advance a vehicle, to be a vehicle for social change and social awareness. And we're very, very happy to work with Waterfire, who has been doing that since day one.
You know, it was funny when we were just closing out. You said a lot of people see ballet as I'm going to put in air quotes here, a stuffy, I guess, art form, and that is so not true. Festival Ballet does so many different things. Can you tell us a little bit about your Up Close on Hope? I mean, Misha Jurek, your director, your artistic director, is just so fabulous and has created a lot of these different programs.
Thank you very much. We pride ourselves in being being able to take it, what is a classical art form, and move it forward based on classical repertory and classical technique. You know, we do the classics, but we are very proud, and we are very most of our repertory, the one that the repertory that really excites our audience base is the contemporary, forward-looking, edgy, abstract, provocative. There's enough there's enough adjectives for it. I could go on and on, but it is you know, the way that ballet is going to stay relevant, like I said before, and it is the best way for us to tackle some issues that we could never have tackled in the past. You know, ballet is not about swans and fairies anymore. Those ballets are certainly part of our history, and we need to recognize that. But of course, you know, contemporary productions is our is now the bread and butter of the industry.
So, how often does the Up Close on Hope program happen? Or
so you're referring to our studio shows, which take place on Hope Street. So we've named them Up Close on Hope because they're intimate, and the audience sits very close. It is a
and they're wonderful.
They
really are something people need to go see.
As well as
the performances in the large theaters.
We have such a wide range, it's impossible to even put it into one perspective. But Up Close on Hope really shows, again, within Up Close on Hope, you see a wide range of pieces and styles. And it's, of course, such a close, intimate venue. And we hope everybody will see it.
Absolutely, Dylan. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
I want to thank Dylan is here, and Misha is also here, and Dr. Taylor is here for this project. I did want to offer one more voice here. We received yesterday a poem from Donald Daly, and I want to read the last stanza of this poem, because he actually wrote it thinking about this Waterfire event that's happening. C in Hep C is for cure, with dignity, decency, doing what's right, true, and pure. We hold this festival to lastingly ensure that we use the health tools afforded, nurses, doctors, medicines, clinics, and each other, to combat this deadly virus, Hep C. Let us help to save you and me. Hallelujah. And that's a wonderful poem by Donald Daly that we want to end on that, and urge everyone to come down to see Waterfire July 26th at Water Place Basin.
Yeah, and so thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for more Waterfire Ignites Rhode Island, and hopefully we'll see you down by the river this Saturday. If you've missed any of this program, you can see it at www.business790.com, and there'll be a podcast. And I'd also like to put a big shout out to our sponsor, Gilead, because without them, we would not be able to have this fire. Thank you.
And their research brought us this cure as well.
Yes.
So, see you next week.